We all know your time is valuable. Whether you're hyper-focused on admin tasks like notes and billing, or simply trying to make a cup of coffee, or even run to the bathroom in between appointments, constant interruptions can derail your day. This podcast is sponsored by The Receptionist for iPad, a digital check-in system that eliminates the need to walk back and forth from your office to the waiting room to see if your next appointment has arrived. Clients can securely check in for their appointments, and you'll be immediately notified by text, email, or your preferred channel. Break free from interruptions and make the most of your time. I've been using them for almost 3 years now, and it saves me hours in my week. Start a 14-day free trial of The Receptionist for iPad by going to thereceptionist.com/private practice. Make sure to start your trial with that link, and you'll also get your first month free if you decide to sign up. Hey everyone, welcome back to the All Things Private Practice podcast. I'm really excited today to have one of my closest, dearest cutie pie friends. I'm sure Cindy will be smiling and Ariel's smiling when I say this. From Asheville, North Carolina. So this is Ariel Shoemaker Hammond, not Ariel, by the way. I have a lot of Ariels and Ariels in my life, which confuses a lot of people, which is quite fun for me. Ariel loves working with a variety of folks, but specializes in couples work, including healing from affairs or those contemplating separation. She also has extensive training and experience working with infertility, reproductive trauma, perinatal mood, and anxiety issues, and people going through major life transitions. Her work is largely shaped through an anti-racist, anti-oppressive lens, and this often factors into sessions comfortable working and experiencing with the Black, Brown, Indigenous, Asian population, people of the global majority, LGBTQI folks, folks of any gender expression. She also uses humor when appropriate and is never afraid to cry with a client. Love this. She's also a professional photographer specializing in documentary style for families, newborns, early childhood, retreats, headshots, and businesses, and is also offering couples intensives. So, I hate reading bios. I don't know if you hate hearing bios, but
I hate hearing bios. All I could hear during that whole thing was ADHD.
I was going to call that out while I was reading it, but, you know, I got to stay hyper-focused on what I'm doing or right. I get distracted. But the reality for those of you listening, the reason I wanted to have you on is because not only because you've become such a good friend of mine, we've traveled the world together on all these retreats and events. I want to highlight how cool it has been for me to watch you go from like, I'm a couples therapist to, oh, I also want to do intensives. Oh, I also am a professional photographer, like traveling the world, capturing these beautiful moments. And one thing I will say about Ariel, and this is just my shameless plug, is that you make people feel so comfortable while taking photos. And I speak from experience as someone who truly despises having my photos taken.
What do I do with my hands?
I never know. Who the hell knows what to do with their hands? And you're like, just do what you normally do. And I'm like, I don't just know the answer to your hands. Yeah, it's not good, but you always make me look good and professional. And you capture like these candid moments that are so beautiful to witness and experience. And I think you have a real gift when it comes to this. So, okay, fill in the gaps. Anything that I missed in your bio that you want to share with people who are listening?
Yeah, I mean, I think, gosh, what do I want to share? I think I would say when I hear that bio, of course, I hate hearing my bio like so many of us do. But I see in my mind this just meandering pathway to get to where I am. And I think that's true of, I know it's true of you as one of your close friends. I know it's true of many folks in our world. And I see that as both sometimes a frustrating thing and also a really beautiful thing, right? Because we get bored and we're also intensely curious and we're also, you know, we also have a desire. I can't see the world without seeing inequity and injustice. And that is constant, as I know it is for you. And so I think all those things sort of just like are constantly coming together in different ways and going on different pathways. And one of the things I love about you is that you just go for it. Like you're just like, okay, well, I'm done with this thing. So now I'm going to do this thing. And I know it's not that simple. But
I was going to say, it may look like that to the outsider, but there is a lot of like sitting on ideas for months, if not years of my life. I'm like, and then all of a sudden it's like, now you do it.
Like, okay, and now you do it.
Where's that voice coming from?
Exactly.
I like that you use like this meandering pathway, because I think knowing you, that feels appropriate. Like, you are an ADHDer. Can I say that like explicitly?
Yes.
And I think for a lot of you who are listening who are ADHDers as well, I think it does feel like maybe not a meandering pathway. Sometimes it feels like a really confusing, chaotic pathway.
Correct. Yeah. Meandering was a nice way of saying it, I think.
Yeah. That was a very aerial thing to do, to be like, it's meandering. But in reality, I think that it is an accurate depiction of what it's like to be a neurodivergent business owner and human. Just come and go through life and be like, what is interesting me? What feels exciting? Where am I going to put my energy that is quite limited in spurts? And where is this going to take me? And I think you've done it really well, because a lot of what you've done is based on relationships and cultivating real, authentic, genuine relationships. Would you say that has been kind of a part of this journey?
I would say that that is the part of this journey. Like, I think you know that I think you would say that I'm not great at doing things like marketing. And so that's never been part of this. And part of this journey has always been, it's like I look back over my life, and especially, you know, becoming an adult in my career, and it all, when I tell people about it, I'm always like, wow, I've done a lot of different things. And I think, you know, I don't feel that way, but then when I look at it, it's objectively true. Like, I could never just sit still with one thing. It was like, you know, when I was in college in Chapel Hill, I started off as a photojournalist, and then I went into creative writing, and then I went into anthropology. And then, by the way, I'm going to tack on a second major and do Spanish and live in Mexico. And like, oh, and now I'm going to go to grad school, and I'm going to work in HIV, and I'm going to get my MPH. But then I'm also going to an MSW, because turns out I really like social work. And, you know, it just is like, it felt very, you know, quote unquote, normal to me at the time to do those things. But then you compare yourself to other people and you're like, wow, I didn't just stick on one road. I sort of, you know, just was like, well, that looks interesting. Let me go over there for a little bit. But there has been a consistent thread of this, like, I don't really exist well outside of authentic relationships. Like, I think many of us struggle with things like small talk or superficial connection. And I've never been good at that. And for a while that felt really, I felt like there was something wrong with me. And I think I'm much more coming into myself as far as like, oh, it's okay to just be authentic with people and connect with people that you connect with. You don't have to connect with everybody, and that's okay.
Right. Absolutely.
So that's how I've built everything in my business, is like word of mouth and connecting to people that I'm curious about, really.
So I want to your journey is a fascinating one. When you list all of that out, it's like, oh yeah, this is ADHD. We could have diagnosed this from afar, right? But in reality, I think it is about that interest-based nervous system, following the passion, seeing where that lies, and not shaming yourself. I know you probably did, like I did, like a lot of ADHDers do, shame yourself when you don't complete something or you start something and you're like, eh, I was interested in this 6 months ago, but it doesn't bring me joy anymore. What's wrong with me? I'm lazy, or I can't follow through. And in reality, like, no, I just kind of move through the world differently. And in terms of like neuronormativity and neuronormative spaces, they're just not suited for me or my nervous system. So it makes sense why I've found my way this way. Now, I want to say something. You said, I'm not good at marketing. Maybe you're not good at like, quote unquote, stereotypical marketing. But when you say all of my business is built on word of mouth, that is marketing. And I think in its purest form. And so many people would say like the best referrals are the referrals that come from people who know, like, and trust you.
That's true. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. The referrals that I get are from people that understand who I am, or at least what my work looks like and who I'm going to fit with. Right. Like, I, you know, like you read in my bio, I do use humor, and I do use self-disclosure in couples counseling. And I, you know, it can be really, you know, I know so many people who don't like doing couples counseling because they feel like it's overwhelming or it's too intense, or, you know, I can't tell you how many people are like, oof, I would never do couples counseling, you know? And for me, that's where I get really excited. Like, I love it. It's like a puzzle that I'm trying to help someone put together, you know? Right. And so when people are sending me folks, they know that. They know, you know, the type of therapist I am, that I'm not going to leave out you know, oppression or injustice, if that's part of the equation, then I'm going to bring it up, that I'm comfortable with different populations, that I'm also going to use humor, that, you know, those are all things that I use in counseling. They're not going to send someone to me who really wouldn't fit with that model. Right. And if they do, it's going to end really quickly. So,
yeah, absolutely. I think that's well said. It's good to know who we are, good to know our strengths and what we feel comfortable and uncomfortable with. So mm-hmm. why intensives? I see so many people starting to offer them, and I totally understand it. Like, okay, we can do more work. We can get deeper. We can get to mm-hmm. the root more accessibly and easily. We can make more money. That's certainly mm-hmm. part of the equation. And it's because we also don't want to do the same thing over and over and over again, right? Like, that sounds like fucking hell to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think for me, intensives, what feels exciting about them is in couples therapy in particular. I don't know if I would do intensives for individuals, and I do still see some individuals, but that would feel too much for me. But intensives for couples feels like such an organic flow to what I already do, because when I'm sitting in couples counseling with a couple, and I'm trying to do an hour, maybe an hour and a half, it's like you're constantly doing this mental balance of, okay, what can I get into? What do I have time for? Okay, I have 20 minutes left. I really can't touch on this topic that we just started to uncover because it's going right. to be too intense for them. And then they're going to have to pack it up and leave. Sure. And so it's like, every time I'm like, damn it. Like, we have 2 seconds left. And I really am just starting to uncover this thing that like is the thing, you know, it's the underlying thing. And right. so having several hours, even a half day intensive, is so much better, because I can actually really put aside the stress of the time constraint and really get into some stuff without the fear of like uncovering too much, you know, or not uncovering enough, basically.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense to me. I mean, even with individual therapy, when I was practicing, I mean, you still get into those situations where someone drops something like 5 minutes before the session and you're
right. like, the hand on the door thing.
What do I do with this?
Right. And let me tell you about this huge trauma.
And then run out the door. I mean, I haven't done that to other therapists in the past. Sorry.
Well, of course, we all have.
But I think it makes sense to move into that model and to do more of that. And I think it makes sense to like want to get deeper, help people resolve, move through rupture, repair, navigate mm-hmm. communication challenges, whatever it is, and potentially even separation. But I think you can get so much more done. So if you're listening and you're in North Carolina, I mean, you should definitely come to Asheville and spend the weekend and do an intensive with Royal. She can even do photos for you.
It's true. I've actually had that thought. It's like, how could I? Because one of the things with people, I cannot tell you how many times people have been like, you should do photo therapy, right? Like photography therapy, which is actually something I have training in and I'm not interested in doing at all. Like, I want to keep these two worlds so separate. Yeah. Because I've always done photography since I was a kid. And the reason I started doing it as a business, probably within the last decade, I guess about a decade ago is when I started making money off of it, was sure. because I needed a balance to the therapy world. You know, the work we do is, it's a lot of trauma. It's really for exhausting. Sure. We can get burned out. And so having that balance there feels really good to me, and combining them too much feels bad. But I do think there's a space there where they could rub up against each other, where it could be like, you know, sort of like how we do with our retreats, right? Where it's like, yeah. People are learning so much and they're going through this transformation. And it's so exciting for them in the mental health world, business world. And then I'm also taking pictures of folks as they're kind of realizing who they are and uncovering some things about themselves, right? So I do see that being an interesting connection. Haven't totally, you know, figured that out yet, but that's probably down the road, I'm sure.
And now we are going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Alma. When I first decided to go in network with insurance, I found the whole process overwhelming. I can actually remember a couple of days that made me want to cry, where I spent hours on the phone being transferred or hung up on or not given clear answers or instructions. I knew I needed to get paid, and I also knew that I didn't know if I could do this by myself. If you're running into those same challenges, Alma can help. They made it easy to get credentialed a lot faster, handled all of the paperwork, and offered way better rates than I could have gotten on my own. They also make sure I get reimbursed within 2 weeks of every session so that I know when I'm getting paid. Visit helloalma.com/ATPP to learn more. That's helloalma.com/ATPP. Hey everyone, it's Patrick with All Things Private Practice, and I just want to invite you to join us in Scotland for our second Doubt Yourself, Do It Anyway Summit that's happening July 14th to the 17th of 2025. We have 12 amazing speakers, 12 MBC CEs available in Edinburgh, Scotland, which is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my life. The link is in my show notes and on my website at allthingspractice.com. You can also join us in Greece in September if you're a leader or wanting to start a group practice. We have a leadership retreat happening on the island of Crete from September 6th to the 11th. Honestly, one of the most beautiful villages I've ever been to in Hania. And then in 2026, we have limited spots available in two different New Zealand retreats. One is for neurodivergent entrepreneurs, March 1st to the 8th of 2026. And then beyond private practice, moving beyond one-on-one therapy, creating alternative streams of income. That's March 15th to the 22nd, 2026 in Queenstown, New Zealand. Check the links. Doubt yourself. Do it anyway. I think it's, you know, you remind me when you say that about like my wife, Arielle, because she's like,
cutie pie of all time.
Yeah, the biggest cutie pie of all time. When she was doing like her jewelry business or her earrings or whatever mm-hmm. she's creating, she's like, I don't want this to be a business. And my brain is like, how do you not see the potential here? Right. And the reality for a lot of people of being like, this is bringing me joy. Mm-hmm. I don't be stressed about it. And I'm like, everything is a business.
You're like, you can figure it out with anything. Mm-hmm. No. And I think for me, it's like, I tend to add, you know, I add too many things onto my plate. And so it is an intentional process of saying like, okay, what do I actually want to do? How much do I want to do it? How much balance do I need? You know, I have three kids. Like I want to spend time with my partner. Like there are other parts of my life besides making money, although that's important. And so
for sure,
it is always a balance of like, how do we figure that out?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, let's pivot to photos and retreats. Mm-hmm. What has this been like for you from the first time I was like, hey, come photograph a retreat here in Asheville where we live to, yes. Hey, you're kind of the retreat photographer now traveling the entire globe.
Great question. What has it been like for me? It has been, well, it's been really fun. It's been great. I think that it's not something I imagined, right? It wasn't something where I was like, I'm going to start taking photos of retreats, right? I mean, in general, I come from a very documentary photography background, so that fits, right? Because the type of photography you, Patrick, we're looking for in Jen was really around like capturing the candids of what was going on, right? And of course, some posed portraits as well of speakers and everything, but like you're really wanting to like capture the essence of the retreat. So I think when you first brought me into the Asheville one, I was like, yeah, that sounds really fun, you know? And it was. And then I don't even remember how we started doing the international ones. I think you were like, we're doing this retreat. And I was like, let me know if you want an international photographer. Ha ha ha. Then you like, as you do, texted me 2 seconds later, like, are you serious? Can we sign you up for this one? Great.
That does sound like me. Yes. And I think the feedback that we get, right? My vision was, I want to name this for those of you who are like, oh, I want to do retreats. How do I afford to do that? Mm-hmm. It was not something I could afford to do when I first started doing them back in 2022. But I realized very early on, like, the whole purpose for me for the retreat is the community coming together, the connections that are being made, the experiences that are lifelong that you can look back on and anchor into when you're struggling. And I was like, what better way to do this than to have a photographer at each event where people could come away with their memories and make it really special for them? So for me, it's almost become like an automatic necessity that I have to build into each event of like, oh, that budget item is now a photography, like, you know, packaging for the event. And people rave about you. Like, I want to just say that. I try to share that with you when I can. But you, again, going back to how comfortable you make people, how you really do such a great job of photographing people who are Black, Brown, Asian, who a lot of white photographers, if I'm being honest, really don't capture very well. Mm-hmm. They wash them out. They're like blending into the shadow of the picture. Right. My wife included. So it's been really special. And people message me all the time and they're like, Ariel is fucking amazing. And I'm like, Yeah, I'm well aware. I wouldn't bring like shit weasels to my events, right? That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I just want to say how much I appreciate it, because it's really offered just a different perspective. Even when you're taking photos of me, when I'm very clearly like, please stop taking photos. Mm-hmm.
Those are my favorite. I'm going to make a calendar of you flipping me off one of these days.
Different countries and locations. Yes. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I've seen you grow professionally in these events because you've upped your prices begrudgingly against your will, I think, even though you're still like underpricing yourself massively. How has that experience been?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think part of it, so, you know, well, to touch on the making people feel comfortable and the melanated skin part, like, I think that's an important thing to talk about too. And I think that the reason I don't give myself enough credit of understanding that me as a human, as a sensitive human, and also as a therapist really helps with that piece of it, right? Like, I think I just intrinsically understand, I'm very empathetic. You know, we're at dinner the other night or last night, and I can feel how anxious and stressed the wait staff was, right? Like, you felt the same thing. And that's true of me all the time. That's my world. That's my nervous system. Yep. So, like, that helps me. Then I bring in the training of being a therapist, right? And like, with all of that combined, I can kind of help people to let down their guard a little bit, which that's really, you know, that's really the trick, honestly.
Listen, you can make Maureen Werbach and myself laugh, smile, or do anything, then I think you're
successful. Or have Maureen do cartwheels in the street. That's my favorite. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then as far as, you know, the way that I think that being a therapist and a photographer are kind of the same thing in a lot of ways. Like, the way that I see through both lenses is like, who's this person in front of me? Who are they in the world? How do they exist in the world? Right. Like, if you're a marginalized person or you have black or brown skin, like, you want to be represented in a way that feels intrinsic to who you are. And so I'm going to work really hard to make sure that's happening. Like, that's just part of it. And it's the same with being a therapist, right? Like, if you're a marginalized person in my office, I'm going to make sure that I am coming towards you in a way that is as comfortable as I can make that, right? Sure. And being explicit about what that dynamic is. So it just feels like the same thing to me, honestly. And now I forgot the second part of your question. Oh, it was about money. Money. Right. Well, you've helped me with that for sure. You know, for those in the audience, Patrick is always saying like, hey, you're not charging enough, which is one of his skills, I think. But also, I think it is hard because it's not like there's like this, I can like Google how much does a therapist retreat photographer charge? Like, that's just like not a thing. So, I mean, mm-hmm. we've made it a thing, which is awesome. And it's not like there aren't other therapists or photographers out there who do this, but it's just not, you can't find like a price sheet. So,
but I think that's the beauty of niching down sometimes is like,
yeah,
I get to make this my own and I get to like experiment with what works and what doesn't. And right. I've seen you raise your rates again, just going to say on air, like not to where I want you to have them because you're so good. And I think that's what frustrates me as your friend is like, Ariel, you're so good at this. Like, please charge more because I know how much energy and time and care not only goes into the process of the photography, but behind the scenes of like the editing and ensuring that people come away with things that they feel really good about.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of that is just being a woman, you know, like we're not socialized. Well, we're not socialized as social workers, first of all, period. And then we're not socialized as women to learn how to price ourselves correctly. Right. So it's like, you know, I appreciate that feedback from you and your wife, like yelling in my ear, because it is important to know. And it's also, I also have so much fun doing it, right? Not that we shouldn't like it should be the opposite, that we know that we can make money doing the things that we love to do, right? But again, we're not taught that in the social work field. We're taught to sacrifice, right? So it's like, okay, I do actually deserve to have a balanced life where I can afford to pay my bills and maybe go on vacation once in a while. And also, you know, I don't know how much to charge for that. And I do want to make things accessible to people. That's really important to me. And so it's that balance of like, how do I have equity slots, both in therapy and as a photographer? But then how do I balance that with folks who can afford more so that I can afford the equity spots and be comfortable, right? It's like a puzzle, which you're really good at. So that's why I appreciate the input.
It's been a blast. You know, we've been, I'm trying to think, Scotland, Greece, Italy, soon to be Greece again, Spain, New Zealand together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really cool, you know, and cool. For those of you listening, you may have heard me allude to maybe this is it for me. I don't know if New Zealand is the end, but I do know that my energy is telling me it's at least the end for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I've appreciated all of our ability to just connect in these places and spend time and have conversations and drink wine in the courtyard of the Italian villa together until like 2 in the morning and just have such a blast. And it's really been amazing just becoming friends and colleagues and just having these experiences together. So I just really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it too. It's definitely a icing on the cake. Didn't know that I was gonna, you know, love you and some of these people so much. So that's been really, really awesome to just to see some of the same really, I mean, of course you're you, so you collect really cool people in your life. And now I have the benefit of knowing some of them too, which is awesome. But you know, I have really, really loved our partnership. It's been super fun.
Thank you. And as we wrap this up, I always want to just kind of give you the spotlight to say, where can people find you if they want to do intensives or if they want photography or any of the other meandering ideas that might come up along the way?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's always easiest to just go through my website probably, which is arielshoemakertherapy.com. It's ArielShuemaker. People always try to spell that wrong.
Yep.
Photography or therapy.com. And, you know, you can find all my stuff on there pretty much. I would say
that will all be in the show notes, so you don't have to worry about how to spell Ariel's last name.
Yeah.
Or how to pronounce it. And everything will be included so that you can book your photography sessions, whether it's headshots or candids or something that you want to do if you want to visit the Western North Carolina region, which we could certainly use right now.
Yes, and, that is true.
You know, also just an incredible human to connect with. So thank you so much for coming on, making the time. And
thanks for having me.
See you in Greece.
All right. See you soon. Mwah.
And to everyone listening to the All Things Private Practice podcast, new episodes are out on Saturdays on all major platforms and YouTube. Doubt yourself. Do it anyway. We'll see you next week.